Morning, everyone. Scripture reading for this morning is taken from Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 15. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 to 15. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. This is the word of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those who are participating online. I'm James, an associate minister of Ang Mo Presbyterian Church. Now, for this morning's sermon, I've referred to David Jacksman's book on Joshua, which is quite useful for for some portions of it. Liz was excited about starting her driving lessons. This was the first day she was driving on the main road. Very soon, she faced her first challenge: how to drive her car safely between two big trucks. She was afraid. Her eyes started focusing on the trucks. Her driving instructor, Teddy, realized Liz was veering to the left and then to the right. "Keep your eyes focused on the road ahead. The trucks should remain in your peripheral vision." Liz listened to Teddy's instruction. She steadied herself and drove safely between the trucks. Keep your eyes focused on the road ahead. The focus of our eyes isn't important only for driving, but for many things in life. What we set our eyes on, what we focus our vision on, determines what's important to us, how we allocate our time, what we pour our energy into. At the same time, our values, our beliefs, and our goals in life will also cause us to see things differently from other people. Eyes on the job promotion, it will lead us to sacrifice time for other things. We will work hard, meet our job targets, our KPIs. But if we value our time with our family more than the upcoming job promotion exercise, then we may see sacrificing time with them as not worth the effort needed for that promotion. Now, the concept of eyes of vision is closely related to the key theme of Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 to 15, our passage for today, that's repeated three times in the passage. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Or in other words, Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. As a result, God promised not only him, but also his descendants, land and rest in the promised land. As a result, he took hold of God's promise and he conquered Hebron in the next chapter, in chapter 15. Now, as Christians, we too have many promises from God in the Bible. In the future, promises of inheriting the world, entering heavenly rest. And right here and now, promises of intimacy with God, God's peace, comfort, and presence. Now, if following God wholeheartedly is key to taking hold of God's promises, enjoying God's blessings here and now and in the future, wouldn't we want to know how to follow God wholeheartedly? What does it mean to follow God fully? What's the relationship between eyes and following God wholeheartedly? I would like to explore this relationship with three pairs of eyes: eyes of faith, eyes on the prize, and eyes on us. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. May our eyes be good soil to receive your word. Open our eyes to see what you have for us. Let your word take root and bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now Caleb said to Joshua, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers, who went out with me, made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord." Now what's this all about? To find out, we have to roll back 45 years to Numbers chapters 13 to 14 to find out what Caleb is talking about. Now at that time, Israelites have left Egypt for about a year. God had saved them from Pharaoh's tyranny through the miraculous 10 plagues. God had parted the Red Sea for them to cross on dry ground. He then drowned the pursuing Egyptian army in it. God provided for their needs in the wilderness through the miraculous provision of water and daily manna. With God's help, they had won a great victory over the Amalekites. They had met God at Sinai and received the law. They had traveled to Kadesh Barnea, to the very edge of the promised land. Now it was a year of amazing progress, but it was mixed with unbelief, discontent, and I'm sure a lot of us will know, lots of grumbling. Many of them kept looking back to Egypt, wistful for what they had known there. They had forgotten the slavery and cruel burdens they experienced in Egypt. They began to put on rose-tinted glasses when they recalled the food and the relative stability of life in Egypt. But now, right at the edge of the promised land, surely they must be ready to enter and take hold of God's promise. Moses sent 12 men to spy out Canaan. After 40 days, they returned. 10 of them presented the following majority report to Moses. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit." They brought back grapes. Two persons had to use a stick to carry it. "But the people who live there, they are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." But Joseph and Caleb quickly cut in and they gave an opposing minority report. "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." The spies argued back. They multiplied the difficulties and the horrors. "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. The land we explored devours those who living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." I wonder how did they know how they looked to the giant, to the people there. This made the people weep and grumble. They longed for Egypt, but Joshua and Caleb, they were not discouraged. They kept on. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the people, they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And as a result, God judged the people so that none of that unbelieving generation will ever see or enter the promised land because they have despised God. But God's servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed God fully, God will bring him into the land and his descendants shall possess it. Now, how did the 12 spies end up with two different reports and fates? All the more surprising, since they had all experienced God's miraculous power, His provision, and His faithfulness. Answer: eyes of faith. The eyes of the 10 spies were on the giants and on the human impossibilities of the task. Following God wholeheartedly enabled Joshua and Caleb to have their eyes fixed on God, the God of promise. The 10 spies made the mistake of excluding God from the equation. They looked with eyes of fear at the giants and at the difficulties of conquering the promised land. Because Joshua and Caleb followed God wholeheartedly, they saw the same challenges with eyes of faith in God's promises. A great God who is committed to His people, to whom the giants are nothing. Fear says, we cannot. But faith replies, God can and will. Because Joshua and Caleb followed God wholeheartedly in obedience, they had eyes of faith open to see God's greater power to overcome the giants. Now, sadly, the same cannot be said for the 10 spies and for the rest of the Israelites. Now, my student Dorcas shares her experience of following God fully. I come from a small church in Malaysia. I received God's calling into full-time ministry, but my church, they couldn't support me financially for my training at TTC. So I planned to do this, work hard and save enough money for the 3 years of my training. One day, I shared this with a church member. A church member challenged me, saying, "Dorcas, answering God's call is a response of faith. Why don't you trust God to provide for your training at TTC in this journey of faith?" I struggled hard. And after some time, I made up my mind. I decided to follow God fully. Trust that He will provide for me. I stopped trying to save enough money. I quit my job and I applied to TTC. The subsequent journey of faith and studying at TTC hasn't been easy. Every time I looked at my dwindling bank account, I'm tempted to earn some money through part-time work. But doing so will compromise my training at TTC. Furthermore, the course load is just so heavy that I don't have spare time for part-time work. But when I look to God to provide, I find God faithful. He provided for my tuition fees and living expenses through scholarships and bursaries. When I needed money for books, to my surprise, God provided through pastors who sacrificed their book allowances for me. Recently, I even received a large financial gift from someone I least expected. Dorcas, she followed God fully. She showed this by not trying to save enough money, by quitting her job to enroll in TTC. Not wanting to compromise on her training and the heavy course load pushed Dorcas to give up looking for part-time work. Instead, she looked to God with eyes of faith to provide for her. Now, the Bible also contains many of our spiritual ancestors with eyes of faith as they followed God wholeheartedly. Some can be found in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. People followed God fully with eyes of faith. They conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, and they gained what was promised. They shut the mouth of lions, they quenched the fury of flames, and they escaped the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength, and they became powerful in battle. They routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Yet, in that same hall of faith, there are people following God wholeheartedly with eyes of faith. They were tortured. They refused to be released so that they might be able to gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They were all commended for their faith, yet not a single one of them received what had been promised. They were looking forward to a better country, a heavenly one God had promised and prepared for them. Sometimes we belong to the first group. We follow God wholeheartedly, with eyes of faith. We receive answers to our prayers as we overcome the giants in life. At other times, we belong to the second group. Now I must admit, this is much harder. We follow God wholeheartedly and are seemingly overwhelmed by problems in life. But what's important is this. Does each challenge focus our eyes on God or on the giants in life? Do we see with eyes of faith, see what God is trying to teach us and do in our lives with each experience? A little victory is just a foretaste of the greater treasures we will receive in heaven. But does persecution and defeat remind us that as children of God, we are different from this world, and that the world is unworthy of us? Does it make us long with greater anticipation for the heavenly rewards? Fear says we cannot, but faith replies, God can and He will. God can and He will do it now. Or maybe much later, or even later when we see Him face to face. Follow God wholeheartedly and see with eyes of faith. Now Caleb said to Joshua, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Now after recounting their report to Moses and their exhortation, which was rejected by the Israelites back in Numbers, Caleb continued on to Moses' promise, God's promise to him that he and his descendants shall inherit the land forever. After wandering 40 years in the desert, seeing his friends and companions die one after another, after fighting the major battles alongside his buddy Joshua with a new generation of Israelites for 5 years, at a ripe old age of 85, Caleb is now finally ready to take hold of the promise God had given him. Maybe I should say at a ripe young age, since Caleb is still up to the challenge of fighting giants as he was 45 years ago. The long years of wandering, fighting, and waiting did not dim Caleb's vision of God's promise. Caleb didn't just look back to God's promise. He looked forward with great anticipation for God to fulfill his promise. He kept his eyes on the prize. He was ready to take hold of God's promise. Keeping his eyes on the prize motivated Caleb to follow God wholeheartedly all through the years and conquer Hebron. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we too have many promises from God. I don't know about you, but I often struggle with anxiety. Amidst the pandemic, some of you could also be struggling with anxiety. What if my family members or I get infected by COVID-19? What if I lose my job? How will the repeated HBLs affect my children's studies? Now, two passages of Scripture with God's promises have kept my eyes on the prize of God's peace and God's care to cope with and to overcome anxiety. They have also motivated me to follow God fully. First, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 to 34. This is the verse that is familiar to many of us. The first part of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now, we often remember this as encouraging us to focus on God's kingdom and not seek the things of this world. But we often forget the larger context of this verse in Matthew 6. And this is reflected in the second part of verses 13, 33 and 34. It says this, "And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, seeking God's kingdom isn't about not seeking the things of this world. We seek God's kingdom, believing that he will provide us with the necessities in life, such as food, drink, and clothing, and many other things. We don't need to be anxious because we can be confident that our Heavenly Father cares for us. Now, as I was preparing to leave for overseas studies 10 years ago, one of my concerns was my HDB loan. There was still a large outstanding amount. I was worried that the money in both my wife's CPF account and my account wasn't enough to support the loan and to pay back the mortgage the time when I was away. But God assured me through this verse and through other brothers and sisters in Christ to take hold of the promise that God cares for me. He will provide. Sure enough, God provided for our housing loan payments all the time that we were there. Second, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Another familiar verse. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It isn't a coincidence that the Greek phrase "do not be anxious" in Matthew 6 and Philippians 4 means "do not keep on being anxious." Now, there are certainly times when we might be anxious, but there's something we shouldn't do. We shouldn't persist in being anxious. Rather, we should come before God, present all our anxieties and requests to him. And as we leave our anxieties and requests with God, God promises his peace. The image is, it is like a soldier who stands guard over our hearts 24/7. Philippians 4:8 further encourages us to replace all our anxious thoughts with whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, not those anxious thoughts. There are many promises in the Bible available for us, but they remain unfulfilled if we don't keep our eyes on the prize and take hold of them. What is holding you back from taking hold of the prize that God will provide for you? Is it fear? Fear that God will shortchange you, that prevents you from following Him wholeheartedly? What stops us from enjoying God's promise of peace? Is it because we didn't follow God fully by leaving our anxieties with Him? I must admit, this happens to me quite often. I pray and then I want to take the anxiety back, but it doesn't work this way. We have to pray and leave it with God. And what do? We replace these thoughts with whatever is true, commendable, and excellent. Brothers and sisters in Christ, ask God to help you keep your eyes on the prize. Follow Him wholeheartedly so that we can take hold of God's promises. I know it is not easy, but as a family, let us share our difficulties and struggles with one another. Let us support and encourage one another to follow God wholeheartedly as we keep our eyes on the prize. Caleb said to Joshua, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said, these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. Now it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Notice that Caleb said he has lived to 85 years because the Lord has kept him alive. That he will drive out the giants of the land if the Lord will be with him. Caleb credited God with keeping him alive. Caleb depended on God to conquer Hebron. Now, as we look at Caleb, at this 85-year-old hero of faith, who is still ready to fight with giants and to take hold of God's promise, we may wonder, how wonderful it would be to have Caleb's kind of faith. As if Caleb's faith is something beyond our reach. It's like an aspirational goal, something far beyond the horizon, unattainable. Now, lest we forget, Caleb's faith didn't happen overnight. It was forged through many faith experiences with God. Faith is like a muscle. The more we exercise and stretch it with every experience with God, the stronger it becomes. Yet Caleb focused not just on him following God wholeheartedly with eyes of faith or by keeping his eyes on the prize. He focused on God, the object of faith. Now what we need is not greater faith, but faith in a great God. Maybe that's why Jesus described mountain-moving faith, a faith that overcomes the impossible, to be like a grain of mustard seed. I checked and I found out that a mustard seed grain is only 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. That's how small a mustard seed is. It isn't our small and feeble faith, but to whom our eyes of faith look to, none other than the great and mighty God that matters. Now, David Jackman gives the following illustration, which I found helpful. If I take my young grandson to the beach on a busy summer day, I will say, "Hold on to Grandpa's hand." I know my grandson trusts me, and I want to teach him to be obedient because I want him to be safe and to enjoy a great time. But I know also that there are plenty of distractions, to cause him to wander off and get lost or even get hurt. So because I love him, I tell my grandson to hold on to grandpa. But I hold on to that little hand 100 times more firmly than the little one holds on to me. My grandchild's safety and delight depends on the firmness of my grip, not his. Yes, my brothers and sisters in Christ, hold on to God who is faithful. But remember, his grip is infinitely stronger than ours. Following God wholeheartedly enables us to have eyes of faith and keeps our eyes on the prize. And vice versa, keeping our eyes on the prize, having eyes of faith, enables us to follow God wholeheartedly. But the truth is, our eyes of faith may sometimes falter. We often find it hard to keep our eyes on the prize. Ultimately, we can be confident that we can follow God wholeheartedly because God's eyes are always on us, 24/7. His grip on us is infinitely stronger than ours. God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. And it is with confidence in our great God that we close in prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the example of Caleb, who followed you wholeheartedly and took hold of your promise of land and rest. Thank you for giving us examples of many others in the Bible, our ancestors of faith, and in our lives too, who have shown the same kind of wholehearted faithfulness to you. Help us to have eyes of faith, to see a God who's far greater than our challenges, our problems, the seeming giants in our lives. Help us to keep our eyes on the prize, to motivate us to follow you wholeheartedly. Remind and assure us that when we falter, when we lose our grip, you hold on to us tenaciously with an iron grip. Not our small and feeble faith, but a great and mighty God who will enable us to follow you faithfully. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.